It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, I'm Kirk Maynard.
And I'm Jamie. Dun, 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 dun.
What?
I don't know.
Are you on?
I'm just going to work it in. I'm on nothing.
If you're watching our YouTube channel, Jamie is in a sweater with
sunglasses.
VIP sunglasses on. They're all sparkly.
They're sparkly. I have had nothing. I need something.
I need the name of your doctor.
I need some caffeine from
Bucko's.
I meant to grab a drink before we came over here. But
I did too.
Nothing.
Dang it.
I know. When we're done.
I hate us both.
So we have a fun show. We're finishing up talking about the final walkthrough. I know, but final walkthrough, because it's so important. And sometimes I think it can be easily skipped over. But we have some great fun facts. And then we'll finish up our form that we actually have and then give you some tips and tricks. And then I think we should share some stories, because we have some really good stories of, I at least have two or three that have been super beneficial.
Like lessons learned type
stuff?
Yes,
yeah. Of going through. And so I think the big reason we really wanted to cover this topic.
Do you know I've had 5 transactions fall through in the last 4 weeks?
No, but one of them.
And I don't have transactions fall through.
One is mine. So yes,
that's true.
Shared venture on that one.
We need to talk about that stuff. For sure.
So I think it's just really imperative to share anything that we can out there with the public, and definitely our growing listeners, which is great.
Yep.
We're at least up to 3 people.
No. I think I've heard 2 hands.
5?
You can count on 2 hands.
10 people.
Yep.
All right.
Or 6. Okay. So we'd like to start the show with fun facts.
Yeah.
So I wish you all could see the, what I'm looking at, but it's basically a graph of the different most popular metro areas, and it has median house price from it's ranked from largest to smallest, and then in those metro areas it has if in the last 12 months if their home prices have gone up, down. And we're just at our office meeting, we're watching the recent, I think it was from the last couple of weeks, Lawrence Yoon, the National Association of Realtors president, that he did an economic forecast, as he does every year. We're listening to that. Most markets are up a little, down a little bit in terms of pricing, but most are somewhat stable, so it's not anything crazy. Do you know what the highest median home price metro area is?
Oh my gosh, I always want to say New York, just because I feel like
I
that's
do too.
Always
I always want to say New York,
such a wild place.
New York is in the bottom third, bottom first third, I should say. So it's split up into thirds. Newark and it can be combined. So remember, I think Vegas, you're a Vegas girl, Vegas and Henderson kind of blend together.
Yep.
If you're a Portland person, Portland, Oregon combines with Vancouver, Washington. So it can cross over states. But so New York and Newark, their median home price was $719,500, but had one of the highest year over year increase in sales prices at 8.2%. So the highest, let's tell you, it's a West Coast. It's a long, straight state that is about to fall in the ocean.
California.
It's one of those cities
California.
In there. It's San Jose, Santa Clara, that area. Their median price is 1. Is that, my God, am I reading that right? 1.9.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Holy smokes.
That makes sense, because our friend's grandmother's house, which was small, and they showed me pictures. I think it went for 800 and something thousand. And I thought,
wow.
Here it would have gone for maybe flipped. It would have probably gone for 300,000.
Second was Anaheim, Santa Ana, Irvine, 1.3, but basically 1.4.
Yep.
But with a 7 point, little over 7 point increase in price. I always think it's going to be San Francisco, but blended Oakland. But man, I was through Oakland not too long ago, and I was looking at the prices of homes. But Oakland's not what you think Oakland is. It's actually expensive area, as all of California is. 1.3 million. On the bottom end of the median home prices, so Pittsburgh comes in last, 239,000. Kansas City, Missouri, 341,000. Atlanta, Georgia, 382,000. Houston, Sugarland, Woodland, Texas, 348,000. So again, this is not just like downtown Houston. This blends all that in there. And Fairbanks is right down somewhere above Pittsburgh, below Kansas City, Missouri. So it's quite interesting. Of course, if you're still coming to Fairbanks and North Pole, if you come to interior Alaska from the south, you're still amazed at what you cannot purchase with the same price as you can, let's say, in Mississippi or a lot of places in the south. So anyway, fun facts.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely wild.
There are some, I guess it's noteworthy to know that, like, Austin was down almost 1% in the sales price. Phoenix down 0.5%. Denver, Aurora, Lakewood, Colorado down 3%. Boulder, Colorado down 3%. I feel like St. Pete was in here somewhere. There's St. Pete. They're down 1% or 2%. Otherwise, most places are still appreciating, but it's definitely slowed down.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. My fun facts.
Awesome. So we're talking about final walkthrough. And if you're just joining us and you didn't listen to last week's show, the final walkthrough normally happens within 24 hours of closing.
Be sure to go to the archives and listen, though.
Yes. But final walkthrough is just basically an inspection with your realtor to make sure all the things are still working or that the things that you have requested on your chattel list are still there. Really doing a kind of a quick down and dirty inspection of the house. And normally, I would say, depending on the size of the house, we're looking at about an hour time. That's normally what I book myself.
That quick and dirty is not quick and dirty. It's an hour, and we've got a lengthy checklist. And so it's good to walk through. Yeah, you want to make sure it is as you remembered it when you first walked through and offered on it. So you want to get your eyeballs on it. Sometimes you want to take measuring tape and measure stuff for possible furniture.
Yep.
So a lot of times that's what my buyers do when I'm going through and going through my checklist, because they don't need to watch me turn on the stove. They don't want me watch me run the dishwasher. They can go off and do other things. But yeah, we recheck out the place, and you don't want to, you know, is there a hole in the roof down that just happened? Did something burn down? Did what we have seen in the past, it's usually mechanical stuff that's breaking. Maybe the seller vacated a week or two before, and now the water heater doesn't work. I can't get any hot water, or the dishwasher doesn't work, or they took something that they weren't supposed to. We specifically asked for the refrigerator in the garage, and that was missing. We removed a carpet. We moved a area rug, and now there's a big, you know, we didn't expect to see a big hole in the carpet. I guess it's not that common, but something I've seen before. I've seen mirrors taken down that we thought were coming with it. You know, like a big, nice bathroom mirror. I don't know. There's been a lot of things over the years. So it's a good idea to go back through it. And then it's a chance for you to take measurements. And then if something does come up, then we put everything on pause. We do a little timeout, and we let the other realtor know that, hey, this is not what we were expecting. This is we're not comfortable moving forward until we come to a resolution. We let the title company know, hey, you know, I know we closed this morning, but we are not comfortable recording tomorrow until we get this figured out. So please put a hold on recording. And so we don't transfer title until we get this resolved. And it's a lot harder to deal with after closing than it is before closing.
Yes.
So usually you'll be chasing sellers if you've closed, and there'll be a decent percentage of the time that they're just going to be like, nope, we're done. We've closed. What it is, what it is.
And I think we look at it as a 50-50. 50% of the time there are sellers out there that want to make everything right. And then there's 50% of the time that they're just exhausted and they're done and they just want to be finished and they want no more contact. And so they're kind of just like, why are you making a big deal over something so tiny? And so that's why we put a hold on title, so that it's not done till the satisfaction of you, the buyer, you feel good about what you're purchasing, whatever that looks like. And so there's lots of different recourse. So sometimes, as an example, we had a dishwasher that was actually not hooked up. So it was a brand new dishwasher, but I couldn't tell whether or not it actually worked. And so he had just purchased it and put it in the slot. And so I could not even figure out how to hook all of that up for the buyer. They were interested in keeping that dishwasher, but not knowing whether or not it would work, whether it would function, we came to an agreement that fuel would be provided. And that felt really good that they would figure out how to hook that up. They were interested in solving the dilemma of that problem, paying for whatever it would cost to do that renovation and install the dishwasher. But we looked at the prices of a medium, very similar quality dishwasher, and then wrote an addendum and had that signed, and then we were able to close. So fuel was delivered, everything put in their name, everything confirmed with the fuel company for a delivery date at a later date, and then the transfer of money, everything shown. Nothing could be taken back, and then they felt really good about that. So there's lots of different recourse. That was just a one example. I've had another example where another refrigerator accidentally, like you're saying, the garage refrigerator disappeared because mm-hmm. the packing company accidentally just packed everything up.
Right.
So we had one selected from Lowe's. They paid for it. Put it in the name of the buyer. The buyer could go, or it would be delivered. It was up to it, whatever worked out for the buyer. So they paid the delivery fee, but if the buyer wanted to go pick it up, the delivery fee would be theirs.
So two things are jumping in my mind real quick. One, yeah. You talked about heating fuel. So in our offers, we might ask to have the fuel convey. We might state that we're going to reimburse for the last rate paid. So two things are important during the final walkthrough with fuel. One, if you are reimbursing, that could be a time where you double check the other side's work. If they're the one that dipped the fuel tank and got you the exact 300 gallon quote, which is, oh, that's an interesting. You came up with exactly 300 gallons, not 307 or 315.
Right.
Dip the tank to find out there's only 182 gallons. And so there could be a discrepancy. I've definitely run into that before. The other one is, let's say the fuel is conveying. Well, I've had it, you know, you're say gone back and forth and you both barely had a meeting of the minds, and the seller's just like, I want every dime I can get out of this. I've more than once seen sellers pump the tank and only leave like a gallon or two in the tank, which of course you can't even heat a house with a gallon or two in there. And so dipping the fuel tank is a huge thing while you're doing your final walkthrough.
Yes.
And you don't want to be anybody surprised. You know, especially in the fall, okay, fuel conveyed. Well, how much, you know, snow's about to fly. How much fuel do I actually have to take? 100 gallons. Okay, well, you better start thinking about getting.
Right.
Or, hey, we're in the middle of winter and the fuel guys are out, you know, 30 days before they can deliver fuel. I mean, it's not been that long, but I've seen them out many weeks. And so we better be on it and make sure we can get you fuel so you have enough to get through until you get a real delivery. So
right.
Things to pay attention to. There's a second thing. I don't know if I mentioned it last week. I did a buyer funnel walkthrough on land. And came to find out that the son of the seller took several cords of trees off. And these are nice trees, trees we're expecting. And I know going through a house fire that the charred trees were worth $6,000 each to the insurance company. They're worth something to a buyer, too. So you can't just go chop down trees on land you're selling prior to closing. So we did. I don't have a final walkthrough checklist, but we just went over there to make sure that nothing had changed. And we might even ask for something to be removed or something. Maybe that's what we're looking at. But we certainly noticed that they removed a few cords of wood that they chopped down. And so we negotiated some money back for that because the seller wasn't expecting the son to go to chop down a bunch of wood on the lot. So anyway, walkthrough is important for land, too. So I got a list here. So National Association, I'm going to go through their list. Jamie, stop me if you see something that's relatable, a story you have, and then I'm going to hop it over to our checklist and then tell you kind of what we're looking for to finish off what we did last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're saying basement, attic, if you had one, every room, closet, the crawl space has been checked. Crawl space is not a bad idea. Hey, all of a sudden there's some fresh water down there. That would be
interesting. Well, and that's that just happened to me. So we sump pump room looked a little wet. Carpet looked off, it just looked like the fiber of the carpet was going a different direction, like maybe they had vacuumed it.
That's right, and you're a tactile person, right?
And I just touched everything, traced it back, traced it under the crawl space of the stairs, traced it all the way that it actually came from the sump pump room, went into under the floorboards, under the crawl space, into that flooring, into the carpet. And so luckily we were able to call the other realtor, let them know what was happening. I did not, you know, everybody was like, did you shut things off? And I'm like, I'm not touching anything because I don't want to shut something off and then find out I've either A, caused a bigger problem. And I don't want to stop something, nothing was running that I could see, but I also want them to get somebody over here so that they can see what is actually happening and then hopefully fix the problem. So unless, I mean, yes, of course, if like the water was running under a sink, I would immediately shut that off if it was something that I could see and say, yes, this is exactly what I did. But I also then provided immediate photographs and video, which I think is super helpful as a realtor. I have done that plenty of times when I'm seeing something, even going through a walkthrough, I found, I want
to
say.
You give it to the listing agent?
Yes.
Okay.
It, like, just because
I've done that plenty of times too.
I think just because you're sight on. And so like when you're yep. describing something, I'm saying, I think like I had gone and I think it was a glycol leak. Mm-hmm. What I thought was glycol, but I'm like, it
you
looks
didn't taste
like,
it?
No. So I was just like, it looks like glycol is leaking all over the floor. Here's the things I'm noticing. So then I just started taking video. It smelled like glycol to me. But again, you're describing something that the other agent can't see. The videos were so good that
good
they
realtor would have tasted it.
Loved when I have poisoning and I'm in the thing and I'm like, oh, my broker told me to taste it.
Lick the floor.
But was able to send that immediately to their mechanic or the person that, not mechanic, the person that was coming over, the engineer that was going to come over to help fix that problem. And then he, based on those pictures, he was like, I know exactly what I need to bring. I know what I need to do. So I just think those things are super helpful when you can provide video, pictures, all that stuff to them.
For sure.
And then that way I feel like
yeah,
they know.
Because they have to communicate to the
yes.
seller and then they want
and they don't waste time.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we're
they can
already.
Give it to the handyman yeah. or the anybody. Yeah.
Yes.
Totally agree.
Your boots on the ground. So I just think when you're doing the walkthrough, the more you can provide people. And I think it's important if you're on the buying side to just not panic. I mean, I know that it's frustrating and I think it's super overwhelming because you've just paid all this money and now you're seeing something. And basically, I feel like you think it's broken. But I think for the most part, sellers want to fix the problem. They want to get you a good result. And so we're trying to bring in somebody. It's not like they're just going to come in and adjust some bolts and be like, there you go. Sorry, I don't care.
Right.
No matter what, somebody's going to come
in. And it's in the purchase agreement that they have to keep the house in that shape.
Yes.
So it's contractually, they're contractually obligated to fix it.
Yes. And I just always tell my buyers, it's just so much better that it happened during the walkthrough than 24 hours after you purchase the house.
We got to take a break and we barely even started.
I know, right?
What's the deal there?
Every time we're in the studio together.
Okay, fine. All right, guys. I'm so excited. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Well, that was weird. Hello? What? And Jamie, did you hear that?
No.
That was weird.
That was
hopefully everybody else heard that. I'm losing my marbles.
You are. It was just in your head. I'm sorry.
It was a long weekend. What did you do this weekend, by the way?
What did we do? Oh my gosh, everything. We went riding on a side by side. I am renovating two of our rooms, and we're gonna rip out our floor. Finally, I'm so excited.
You talk about that a lot.
Oh yeah, it's done. Done deal. My husband finally was like over the edge, and he just was like, "Why do we have carpet in here?" And I said, "I don't know." And then he said, "I can't stand that. It doesn't feel clean enough." And, you know, it rained, so it smelled like wet dog in the house a little bit. And he goes, "I just feel like it smells like wet dog." Of course, the dogs had just been outside,
right. So
they were wet. Yeah. And I go, "It could be the carpet." And then he went, I think we should pull it out this week. And I went, "All right, on your next days off." So
yeah, clap, clap, clap.
I got some flooring samples. I need to go to a couple more places, set them in the thing, and
sweet.
Then we're going to order
done.
It. Done.
I worked in the riverboat 87 and 92, I think we figured out. My brothers did 5, 10, whatever each. So we had a reunion. There was 75th anniversary at a reunion at the pump house. I didn't go on there was a boat trip, a little private thing on Saturday I didn't make. And then Sunday we went to Cold Dredge 8 and then rode the boat. We did like the total tourist thing, but it was a lot of fun. It was a beautiful weekend.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to our checklist. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the
final walkthrough.
Yeah, final walkthrough. So important. Again, this is part two. It's probably going to be a 3-part series of how important it is to do a final walkthrough. We were talking about hitting every room, the basement, attic, closet, crawl space. Jamie said she's, you know, found water coming in. So that's just one of many, many, many reasons you should do a final walkthrough, and it's insane not to do one. The next item that the National Association of Realtors, and then we'll kind of relate this to our own checklist and what we do up here. Requested repairs have been made. So if you have negotiated repairs in the seller's market and the seller completed them, odds are your professional negotiated that a final inspection be done, that the seller pay for it to make sure that the repairs that the seller did themselves or had done by a handyman or professional were done and they were done correctly. If it was like maybe a onesie or a twosie and they just resupplied receipts and that's all they needed or that's all you guys negotiated, maybe it's still good to get your eyeballs on it to make sure it was done because the inspector didn't actually go out there. They just got receipts back.
Yeah.
And we're all crossing our fingers at that person, whoever did it. None of us know personally and don't know their history. Make sure that was done correctly. So maybe there might be some times where you do make sure some repairs were done, and I've definitely done that with buyers that we've gone through a couple things that we didn't have a final inspection on, but normally you're going to. Copies of paid bills and warranties are in hand. That's an interesting one. We don't usually do home warranties. We did 15, 20 years ago. We really didn't get into home warranties. Coincidentally, next Tuesday, I don't know if you remember, Jamie, we're having a home warranty guy fly up to Alaska.
Yeah.
So we'll see if warranties are going to come back into play again and see if that's a thing that buyers are desiring.
I know this isn't home warranties, but I do always try to look in some of the drawers in the kitchen to see if they've put like the warranty for the fridge warranty.
That's what they mean.
And I
apologize.
Yep.
And I'll stand corrected. That's probably what they're meaning. And I do that. And so I think we've on the show, we've encouraged sellers to do this, but I have a book of everything. So every appliance, anything that goes that we are not taking with us to the next house, I have a book ready to go. I keep receipts of everything. Today, a contractor's working on my house. He handed me a Ziploc of receipts. I'll put that in the book for that work that was done, but I keep it.
Yeah.
And I know most people don't do it. And I probably wouldn't have done it if I hadn't gotten real estate and probably seen it one day and saw it one day and said, "Wow, this is a really good idea." I mean, buyers and I go gaga over if we see somebody has something like that. So it's really nice. Minimally keep a Ziploc of all this stuff. Whatever you can keep, please keep. If you guys are listening, keep. Warranties, instructional booklets, anything. Just keep it all, please. It won't take up that much room. It's worth it. For me, I see a lot of value in it when I'm working with a buyer. If I see all this stuff, so does a buyer. So it's worth doing.
No, I agree. I think it looks really, really good. And I, Depending on the house, sometimes if they have a bunch of stuff, sometimes I'll put together a binder for them. If they are like, I have all these things, and they hand me a bunch of stuff and I'm listing the house for them, then I'll put it together in a binder for them for the next, for the buyer.
The next item that the National Association of Realtors has, if I'm not cutting you off,
is
no major unexpected changes have been made to the property since last viewed. So I guess one would come to mind. Last night we were doing a showing. You can tell they had a nice paved driveway, nice circular paved driveway. The expectation is you could use that circular driveway to get back on the road. Well, there's obviously a road easement. The road is gravel. They went through and put a bunch of top fill on it and graded over it, and now it's a 2-foot hike up from the gravel driveway to get out, which every car is going to get stuck and bottom out on. And so there's a major change that they weren't aware of. They didn't know that that was going to happen. And that's a possibility that could come up. I've seen, I think we're going to talk about this in a second, but people pulling plants out, fences out. There could be all sorts of major changes. There could be a roof that caught fire. There could be, I don't know, there could be all sorts of stuff. So make sure you guys are looking for unexpected changes that could be made to the property since you guys last viewed it. The next item is all items included in the sale price. And so draperies, so that's drapes, rods, blinds, lighting fixtures, and so on, are still on site. That is your chattel list. Remember, we described chattel as anything that can be removed without causing material damage to the property. So there's most sheds are on permanent foundations. Most fences are considered may or may not be considered chattel. So I write them on sheds, chattel, firewood. I put smoke detectors, CO detectors. I put water heaters, water filtration systems, and, of course, all the appliances. And I tell buyers, I told buyers this last night, I go, remember, if we're zoning in on a house, pay particular attention to things. There was built-ins that usually will remain, but there was definitely some shelving that could be removed. But take pictures, take everything before you guys write your offer. When you guys go back through your final walkthrough, then you'll have those pictures to reflect back on. Oh, yeah, and your chattel list, of course. These items were all supposed to come with you, and now the drapes and rods are missing. In fact, there was a chiropractor in town I was representing, and I can't remember what happened, but the drapery, I can't remember what side I was on even, but I remember having to go to Fred Meyer's. I feel like I've told the story before, but I had to go buy rods and blinds, and
yeah,
I can't remember if I got them, give them a credit or if I went and bought them, but I know they went missing, and maybe we didn't catch on the final walkthrough. So everything that can be removed without causing damage, you need to make sure it's still there. You need to make sure it's written on your chattel list before when you write your offer.
Yes. Agreed.
So, so we definitely have a part in our checklist for all the chattel, what I call personal items. Screens and storm windows are in place or stored on site. That's an interesting one to pay attention to. Of course, we don't have storm windows, at least here in Fairbanks and North Pole, but window screens is an interesting one. A lot of them are removed in the wintertime to be replaced in the summertime. I do often remember to write them in my chattel list because I do not want those to go missing. So
right.
I'm thinking probably more of a buyer's market. I sometimes if you get too picky on your chattel list, especially if you're competing, the sellers might think you're going to, nickel and dime them all the way through the transaction, and they might choose another offer over yours. So I kind of walk a fine line on chattel lists. A lot of the stuff is just, it's usually going to be there. The smoke detectors, CO detectors, those aren't going to go walking away. So I pick and choose depending on the situation. But yeah, window screens is a good one to pay attention to. If they're stored in the garage, yeah, I want to make sure because, those things aren't free to go remake them again yourself or to hire somebody else to do them. So
yes.
I've had clients build them themselves for themselves, but dang, it's, I don't want you to have to go through that process because we have those little things called mosquitoes in summertime. It's kind of nice to have those things. Jamie, I ran us out of time.
Oh my gosh.
So we're definitely going to do a part three. So I know you guys are all edge of your seats. we'll have to do part three next week.
Okay. All right.
Wait, except for we might have the home warranty guy on now. I'm thinking about it.
I can't remember if I don't run the radio.
Anywho.
Yeah.
People want to get a hold of you?
Yeah, give us a call at 907-378-2400. And we hope you have a great Saturday.
And stay tuned for this is your Jamie. Come on.
I can't remember.
Come on, Jamie.
No.
Behind
the mission.
With the United.
Oh, the United Way.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I thought we were going to name them, and I don't know their names yet.
Awesome, you guys. Take care. Have a good Saturday.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Media Active production.